So as I said in the beginning, we have a lot going on today, so I'll try to keep my words a little more brief, but I'm not very good at that, so I apologize in advance. We hear from the Book of Wisdom, we hear from St. James, and we hear from the Gospel of Mark, and among many other themes, the thing that struck me the most was this idea of the wisdom of God. In the Book of Wisdom, we hear about the wicked, kind of air quotes around that, who don't like someone who is righteous. The wicked really is you and I. That's not a condemnation of anyone individually here that I've seen you do something wrong, but it speaks to the fact that most of us generally find people who are righteous and good sort of obnoxious. We can't but help it. I spoke with a young girl after Mass, and she said that it's really hard to make friends if you strive to be good. Now, I might ask people, if Jesus Christ was here today, do you think you would recognize him? Do you think you would see him? If Jesus Christ stepped into West Bend High School, do you think everyone would bow down before him and recognize him as Lord, or into your office or your workplace or your family's life? And if you said yes, you're probably fooling yourself. And I'm going to prove that to you. Who here, well, maybe start with the high schoolers, who here finds it annoying when someone always has the right answer? Or who's always doing the right thing? They never get in any trouble, right? We just find that irritating. And, you know, that keeps on going as you get older. I mean, you might have someone who's above you in your office or your workplace, or someone who has more gifts or talents, who's a better mother than you, or a better father than you, or a better whatever it might be than you. And when you find out if they do something wrong, they maybe get demoted or they get sick even or something. I don't know about you, but there is in me something that I don't like that sort of smiles a little bit. Someone who's better than me got knocked down just a little. And maybe I'm crazy and the rest of you are normal, but I think most of you probably have that sense within you. How easy it is for us to despise goodness. And that's so strange. That's so odd. And we hear about that in the Book of Wisdom, that it's a great prophecy of Christ. It says that the wicked will test the righteous one. It says, let us see if his words are true. For if the just one be the Son of God, God will defend him. With revilement and torture, let us put the just one to the test, that we may have proof of his gentleness. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. For according to his own words, God will take care of him. If we despise, you know, people who are good in our own life, we make fun of them, we belittle them in our careers, in our families, how much more would we despise the Lord, would we be one of his persecutors if he showed up in our midst? And yet, the Book of Wisdom tries to teach us that God sent his wisdom into the world and it became a person. And it became a person named Jesus Christ to teach us, but also to save us. It saves us from our evilness and our wickedness, as of hopefully we all can recognize. The letter of St. James speaks to this need to cast out envy and hatred and anger and fighting and wars within our lives. But that's hard to do. No one would disagree with that. But what do we do? Well, our gospel today from the Gospel of Mark gives us some insight as to what we are to do. If Jesus is the wisdom of God, if he is a face of the God we could never see, then we would do well to recognize that face in our world and in our midst. And so we have the apostles and the disciples arguing among themselves about who will be the first in the kingdom. Jesus teaches us two things in our gospel. Probably heard them before. The first, whoever will be first will be last. Whoever will be last will be first. He said, those who will be last and servant of all, in the end will be those who are first. And so we are called to be like Christ's servant, to put ourselves before others, to strive for goodness, even when it will cause us to be mocked and reviled and even hated. But secondly, he has this poignant little note about placing a child in their midst and saying, whoever receives a child as this in my name receives me. And I was thinking, well, why is this? What are some qualities of children that show us the Lord's face? There is their openness and their trust. There's the obedience that children have. Kids like rules. Yeah, maybe not all of them, right? But in general, like, kids kind of like order and things like that. They listen to their father and mother just as Christ listened to his own father. They have an open heart to love strangers, maybe even people that it would be foolish to love, just as Christ loved people for whom it would be foolish to love, whom in the end took his own life. They're generous and forgiving. Kids will give away everything in your house if you let them, if you're not careful. They don't have a sense of all the, what's it all worth and everything, and so they just give it all away, just as Christ gave away his own life. And so I think we would do well to try to replace children in the center of our lives, of our world, of our church. This perhaps speaks to why it is such a grievous scandal when children are hurt. Because among many other things, they show us the face of Christ, which is the face of love itself. And if you think about our world we live in, I think even though we do our best to try to safeguard our children, I think we live in a world that pushes our children out of the center. We're forcing them to grow up earlier and earlier and earlier. You think about the things we just say, children are resilient. We won't safeguard the things we have on, you know, on television, or the things we have in their pockets and their cell phones. And you think about the sins of the children, right? And sometimes the older you get, you kind of say, oh, well, this young generation, they just don't care and they just are so whatever. And, you know, can kind of lament the state of youth nowadays. Well, be careful with that, because the sins of the children are really the sins of their parents that they haven't resolved and then foisted upon them. Because kids aren't coming up with new technologies on their own. They're not coming up with disordered ways of thinking. They're receiving them from us, from their parents, from those above them. And so I think our gospel, among many other things, tells us to replace children at the center of our lives, of our families' lives, of our church, of our schools, wherever it may be, so that we might truly then see the face of God. At the end of our gospel, it says, whoever receives a child receives Christ, and whoever receives Christ receives the Father. If the Father in heaven is hidden from us, and we see him in the face of Christ, and if the face of Christ is too harsh for us, the image of looking upon a cross is too challenging for us, perhaps we can behold the face of a child and then see the face of Christ, and let that be an avenue to the face of God.